Today, I want to talk to us, by the leading of the Spirit of the Lord, about the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones. And my discuss with us this morning will not be necessarily all kinds of new stuff, because I've talked about this before. And actually, in our Bible study, last Wednesday, we came to this particular passage of Scripture, and I promised I was going to continue with it next Wednesday, which is a few days from now. But the Lord spoke very clearly to me and said, no, that's not for next Wednesday. You're going to talk about it this Sunday. So we're going to be talking about the church today. Amen? So I would like to have you come with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. That's where we're going to start from. Jesus had just finished ministering to a great multitude of people. And while he ministered to them and wrapped up that discuss in verse 13, let's take it from there, verse 13 rather than 15. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked them that question. And they said, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias or Elijah. Others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That mindset is an interesting mindset, because it's a mindset that says that God cannot do something new, but that God is in the recycling business. So where did you get that from? No, they're telling us that he is John the Baptist. John the Baptist is dead. He's Elias. Elias is dead. Jeremiah, he's dead too. Or one of the prophets, maybe it's Ezra, maybe it's Daniel. Maybe, as if God can't do something new. So he says to them, he says, okay, I heard what everybody says. But now, I want to know from you what you say. But whom say ye that I am? I'm not interested in what you think based on other people's discussions. Do you have a revelation? Are you a parrot? Are you just repeating stuff? Do you know? You know, many years ago, before I became born again, let me say, I used to say things like, my father is a Christian, and so am I. And God says, on the basis of what? As the soul of the Father is mine, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I don't have grandchildren. I plain just have children. God is not excited about the fact that you came from a Christian home. There are people in this country that think they are Christians because they were born in Canada or born in the United States. I gotta be a Christian. I'm from a Christian nation, and that means nothing to God. Doesn't matter. You know, horses may be born in barns, and goats and sheep in barns and whatever, but because you were born there does not make you one. You and I must have a personal relationship. And so the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to his disciples very frankly. He says to them, okay, I've heard what they say, but what do you say? What do you know about me? I've been hanging around you all this while. What do you know about me? Who am I? Who am I? Now, you will think that this is the first time that Jesus has communicated this idea to them. He's already said it before. They know. Because he's spoken it to their hearing that he is the Christ. I don't have time to open up to the passages, but let's leave it at that. And now, Peter responds. And he says, thou art Christus. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. Blind Bartimaeus said it. The people that were hanging around Jesus were hanging around Jesus, and there's Jesus teaching and preaching and expounding the word of God, and they don't know it, even when he's spoken it. And people way out there know it. They know this is the real deal, this is the real McCoy. Well, people that are there. You see, because sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, and we're familiar, so familiar that we don't know. We don't appreciate what's before us. And that's where they were. But Peter now says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus turns to him and says, blessed art thou, Simon, Bar Jonah. Bar Jonah meaning son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. First thing I want us to grasp in all of this is the fact that these men have been with Jesus all this while. Other people are getting the point that this is the Messiah. And they that were there with him did not get it. How does that happen? You can be so close to truth and not grasp truth. You can be in a state of deliverance and not experience deliverance. I attended church. The church I got born again in started in our living room, but I was not saved. You can be in a pastor's house and not be saved. Salvation comes by revelation. And being a church that is effective and powerful comes by revelation. It doesn't come because we have a wonderful name, Glory and Peace Church. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means absolutely nothing until you have a revelation of your purpose. You have to have a revelation of your assignment, a revelation of what God has called you to be, and then you be that. Because if you are not what God has called you to be, you are not part of Him. You are fake. The church, what is it? Jesus, our Lord, said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. My Father in heaven revealed this truth to you. And then He says, I say unto you, that thou art Peter. Thou art Peter. The word Peter is the word Petros. It means a stone, a small rock. Thou art Peter, a small rock. And upon this rock, Petra, upon this boulder, this cliff, I will build my ecclesia. I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the government of hell, shall not prevail against it. The church of Jesus Christ cannot be prevailed over. It has the power of the living God. Witchcraft, Satanism cannot stop the church of Jesus Christ. But what church? The church that has a revelation of who Jesus is. A revelation that comes from the Father, God revealing who Jesus is. And Jesus says, upon this rock of this revelation, of what you've just identified, that I am the Messiah, the Christ, the Deliverer, the Redeemer. Upon this truth, when you know that I am the one who delivers, who saves, who sets free, who makes whole, when you know that truth, no plan, no agenda of the devil will ever prevail over you. Hallelujah. That's the church. Amen? The church, what is it? The word of God goes on and says, and I'll give unto thee, the one who's received revelation, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. So there are keys. What are keys for? Keys are for unlocking doors. Oh, the gates of hell shall not prevail. But I'm going to give you keys. What keys? The keys of the government of heaven. You kick down the gates of hell, but you're nice when you enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have keys. Amen? Because God doesn't want you kicking down anything in heaven. That's trespassing. Hello? So He gives us keys of the kingdom and says, and whatsoever thou shalt bind, whatever it is that you bind, deho, on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose, luo, on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, time does not permit me to go into details. In the days to come, I'm sure that the Lord is going to help me, lead me to just keep on going on what he's getting me to start here today. And we'll begin to unfold more and more and more and more and more of the truth of the Word of God that's been released to us here. But the Word of God is saying to us that whatever it is that we deal, bind in the earth, is bound in heaven. Or a better translation is, whatever having been bound in heaven, you bind in earth, shall be bound. In essence, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. You are not going to bind anything here if it has not been bound there. But for you to bind what you need to bind here, which is already bound there, you need to have access to know what is bound there. Are you with me? Okay. So God gives you the keys of the kingdom to peep in, to see what has been done, so that you can do what has been done there, here. Somebody shout hallelujah. God giving you and I insight, discernment. A lot of prayers that we pray that do not have any answer is based on the fact that that is not what God wills. Now, there are caveats to that statement, because there are certain things that God says that when you are his disciple, you come to the place where what you will, God also wills. That's a different level. Amen? That you can say something and God says, that's it. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Exactly like you said. That's what we're going to do. But when does that happen? When you have the mind of Christ. And what do you do with your mind? You imagine things with your mind. Yes? So when you have revelation in your mind and you have become one with him, then his thinking becomes your thinking and your thinking becomes his thinking. Glory be to God. That's where God wants to take you and I. He wants to take you and I step by step to that place where we begin to function in another dimension that has nothing to do with the natural but with the supernatural. Having the mind of God, having the mind of the Anointed One, having the mind of Christ, having the mind of the Messiah, having the mind of the Deliverer, having the mind of the Provider, God's Spirit operating in you and through you, so that you begin to function with an authority that causes the forces of darkness to bow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This is where God wants to take us. Says, I'm going to build my church on the basis of this, on the basis of you knowing who I am. Why? Because as you behold me, as you see me, you are going to be changing to the same glory. Oh. God changing you and I to the same. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind in the earth shall also be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose, that word luo means to dissolve something. Melt something away, eradicate something, unwind something. And you don't lose the Holy Spirit, please. The Holy Spirit is not bound. So you don't, I bind this devil or whatever in the name of Jesus, and I'll lose the Spirit of God. What are you talking about? What kind of foolish prayer is that? It's a prayer birthed out of ignorance, not having revelation. You lose people from whatever it is that's held them in captivity. You lose people from a mindset that's kept them in deception, that's blinded them. Whatever the enemy has limited, Jesus said to the woman that had been bent over because the devil had kept her in that state, "Woman, be loose, be released." So God is saying to us, whatever you release in heaven shall be released in the earth. Now that is a big statement. That's a very big, big, big statement, because everything that God releases into your life is already around you. I don't know if you heard that yet, but I want you to hear it in your spirit. Everything God releases is already around you or in you. God speaks a release of birds and fishes out of water. Everything that's released, there's something that is keeping whatever it is that you and I need. And it is for us to be able to step with the eyes of revelation to begin to command those things that have been held captive or treasured in a hidden place, for that thing to release whatever it is that it's holding. Hello. I declare by the authority of the Word of God that every black hole in your life that has captured the light of God's glory in your life, that this day that black hole must release the wealth of God's goodness in your life, in this church, in this body, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Because darkness can hold light. That's what black holes are. And there are spiritual black holes that capture people's lives, captures people's light. And God is saying, my Father revealed this truth to you. You've been around me all this while. Everybody else is getting the reality of the truth that I am the Christ, but you hanging around me, you that I have raised up by my Spirit, called by God to be my disciples, you have been limited, but this day you have received a revelation of what is here with you. And from this very moment, I can now build my church, that the gates of hell cannot prevail over, because light has come out of darkness. Somebody shout hallelujah. I declare in Jesus' name that every limitation in your life this day, you must break out in the name of Jesus. What is this church? The church is the called out. It is an assembly. But the word ecclesia was a word for government. People were part of an ecclesia, and they discussed and they came up with what the nation should look like, what should be done in a nation. That's what the ecclesia was. So when we talk about the church, we're talking about the people who come into unity together in agreement, and they decide on what the will that must be manifested is. And this church and every church of Jesus Christ must come to their rightful place in understanding that we are the legislative body of the Most High God, and we are going to determine what is going to happen in our cities, what is going to happen in our nation, what's going to happen in our world. A church that does not understand its role and its power and the anointing and authority that God has given to it is a church that will be prevailed over. But that church, if it is prevailed over, it cannot be the church of Jesus Christ. Because the church that has a revelation of who Jesus is cannot be prevailed over. They prevail over. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! The ecclesia. It is an organism. Organisms start little, up to the cell form, and begin to go through a change process until they formulate the wholeness. It is an organization. It is a body that has organs, departments. There are things that your liver does that your kidney doesn't do, that your lungs don't do. Every organ in the body plays a particular role. Amen? So the church has organs. It has departments. It has what the Bible also called members. And each member plays a particular role, accomplishes a particular thing. Now, there are certain things that are common to all. For example, the blood has to flow to all. Amen? The part that does not receive blood is dead, because life is in the blood. Hallelujah? But my stomach doesn't play the role of my lungs. Every member, every organ playing a particular role, minding their particular aspect and focusing on what needs to be done and what needs to be accomplished because of the grace that has been bestowed upon that particular body. Amen? Now, in your body, you have something called stem cells. Yeah? And with your stem cells, you can basically reproduce every other thing. So within everybody, there is the capacity to reproduce something else. Which means you can have functionalities from one functionality. That you can be many things. But the primary purpose of the body is for it to function on a particular thing, even though it has the ability to reproduce other organs to do other things. Are you with me? Or did I lose you in the bush? You still with me? Okay. So, I can be a prophet, I can be a teacher, I can be a healer, I can be a provider, I can be all of these things, but I don't have to be all of those things. I have to know what thing God has called me to be, even though I have the capacity to function in all of these things. It's called the church. Whatever it is that I need to do, I can do it. But I need to focus my attention. Peter says, and the elder said, you know, we're not here to serve tables. We can do that. But we're here to spend our focus on studying the Word of God, praying, and preaching. That's what we're going to do. Let other people do whatever it is they got to do. And when other people started doing whatever it is they needed to do, the church grew and expanded and was effective. We are only as effective as we all involve ourselves in what God has called us to do. There is no part, you know, there's only, because we don't understand it, there's something called the appendix. Yeah? Nobody knows what it does. All it does is collect, you know, stones and stuff and then creates problems for people. There are no appendixes in the body of Christ. Everybody functions. Let me say it again. Everybody functions. There is no, you can't be a part of a church and be there and not have a responsibility. Everybody has at least one thing that they are focused on doing. One thing, at least one thing. You shouldn't be doing too many things. One thing for sure. You shouldn't actually be doing two things. One thing for sure. You can extend yourself and do something else, but only on a temporary basis. Because whatever it is, just like the stem cell that has the capacity to reproduce an organ, you do what, if you have a second job in the church, you, while you are doing it, you should be raising somebody to do that second job so that you can go back to your first job. Hello? Are you with me? So, you should not carry two jobs. Actually, it would be wrong for anybody to be doing two different ministries for more than 6 months. If you don't, you should reproduce somebody else to take up that second job, and that person begins to build up that particular area of ministry while you oversee it, and just watch them do what they need to do. That's how the body works. Because if you overburden any part of the body, one, it's going to get tired, or two, it's going to get so strong that we pull the whole body in another different direction. Did you know that depending on what, whether you're right-handed or left-handed, that you're stronger in one hand than the other? That possibly if we were to measure your feet right now, that one foot is bigger than the other? We thought, did God make a mistake? You know, he just made a mistake and missed it. No, it's based on how you walk, based on where you are putting the most pressure. That's how that's happening. The muscle that you train becomes a stronger muscle. We can both use both hands. Everybody can use the right hand and the left hand. Guess what happened for most of us? Somebody, every time you try to use the left hand, and so you kept on using right, and so you became right-handed. But if we left you alone and didn't mess with it, you will throw a baseball just as fast with your left as with your right. You understand what I'm talking about? Our functionality is based on what we have been called to do. We have the capacity to do anything. But God has an assignment for every one of us. And we have to let everyone grow up to their potential. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me say this in passing. Nobody is an expert the first day. That means people make mistakes, but they correct their mistakes and become pros at some point. Nobody who's coming to assist you is going to know how to do everything perfectly the first time or the second time or the third time. That's why we have something called patience in working with people so that the church can begin to function as it should. Watch this. Jesus just had Peter declare by revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he begins to teach them and tell them about what was going to happen. And Mr. I have revelation comes to the Lord and starts rebuking the Lord. Hey, stop speaking wrong confession. Don't you know that you are the Christ? You can't be talking about dying now. Stop it. Jesus turns around and rebukes him. He says, get behind me, Satan. Your focus is not on the things of God, but on the things of the flesh. What is it? The reality is this: when we have revelation, we continue to stay in the flow of the revelation of God and not assume anything. Assumptions are birthed from your own mind. God assumes nothing. God knows. Hello? And what do I want to know? What God knows. Because what God knows is revelation, not assumption. Did you hear what I said? What God knows is what? Revelation, and not what? Assumption. You assume nothing. You know. And until you know, keep on seeking to know and then do, because that way you will not falter. When you assume, you create an atmosphere for failure. When you know, you can continue because your continuation is based on the fact that you know that you know that you know that God is the truth. And what God says shall come to pass. Hallelujah. That's why it's important not only for you to know about him, but to begin to see you, yourself, through God's eyes. I said, you need to know who God is, but you need to get to know yourself through God's eyes. How does God see me? Because the way God sees you, he sees you in a totally different level. Praise the Lord. Let me explain that by talking to you about what Jesus our Lord came to do. See, because we became the church, we became part of this church because he atoned for us. There's something called the atonement. In the Old Testament, the word atonement, and we'll talk about this when we have the next set of meetings called Yom Kippur, because that's a feast of atonement. In the Old Testament, the word for atonement is the Hebrew word kafar. And it means to cover. It means to pacify. It means to keep something covered, hidden. But when we come to the New Testament, the word atonement is no longer that word, kafar. It is another word called katalage. And this word now, katalage, has a totally different meaning. The meaning of katalage is not covering over. It is a word that was used by money exchangers. So let's say, for example, I go to Nigeria and I take a dollar. They will exchange for equal value my dollar with the Nigerian naira. And I'll get 200 and something naira for $1. There was a time when if you gave me a dollar, I'll give you 50 cents because the Nigerian currency was stronger than the US dollar. That was not too long ago. Okay? All right. That's katalage, exchange for equivalent value. Are you with me? Somebody say equivalent value. So when Jesus came and atoned for you and I, he came to give an equivalent exchange, which means that he elevated your value to his value. Oh, you didn't. His value for my value, equivalent. That is New Testament atonement, katalage, equal value. Now, if you don't get it, let me explain it another way so you can get it. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. Is he God? He is God. Okay. Who died for you? God. What was the price that God paid for my redemption? The price of Jesus, who is God. So when God bought me back, he paid the price of God for me. So what do you think my value is now? The value of God. The blood of bulls and goats did not match the value God had for me. That's why it was not sufficient. But the value of God was sufficient to buy me back. So until God was ready to buy me back with the value of God, he did not come. But when he was ready to buy me back and said, I place on you the value of myself, I was atoned for. Are you with me? You sure? So the value of God. That's why anyone who disvalues you disvalues God. That's why you must never call any man or woman a fool. That's why, because when you do so, you are calling who? God. Are fool, because God has placed the value of himself on that man. A man or a woman may do a silly thing, a stupid thing, a foolish thing, but they are not. Are you with me? They are not foolish, stupid, crazy, whatever, they are not. But they did. In other words, you did something that is less than who you are. I believe in you that this is who you are, but you did that. But if you cross that line of calling the one who did the foolish thing foolish, you cross the line of pointing your finger at God and saying, you're foolish. Did you hear? You don't want to cross that line because you're going to find yourself coming against God. But the church is not these four walls. The church is you. The church is me. The church got birth when Jesus showed back up by sending the one who represented him, called the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit came when the body that God was going to occupy was ready. And Jesus said, I am going to create, build, put together that mansion. I'm going to leave John 14. Give me John 14, 1. Gospel of John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, money, abiding places. Because you are going to be his abiding place, abiding place, abiding place, abiding place, abiding place, abiding place, an abiding place. And every one of us, the abiding place of God. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That place, that abiding place that he went to prepare was you. Oh, you didn't get it yet. If any man be in Christ, that man becomes a new what? Creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That new creation is birth out of the new man who Jesus is. Before he came to the earth, he was altogether God. When he came to the earth, he was altogether man. When he went back as God and man. That was the new creation. And that's you. You are a mix of God and man. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the God-man relationship is what the church is. That's the body he comes to abide in. And he says that as we walk in love one with the other, that he and the Father will come and they will reveal themselves to us. If we're going to come to a place of experiencing the revelation of God as a church, because he reveals himself only to his church. And the only people who will receive the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the initiator of the church on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says that the Spirit of God comes only to those who see him. The world cannot receive the Spirit of God because it seeth him not. But you have seen him. And he's with you and in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, who's this church? This is a church that the devil cannot mess around with. Satanists can gather and do their plotting and their whatever, and witches can gather and do their thing, but there is nothing they can do to stop the church, the people of God, who have a revelation of who Jesus is. And because they have a revelation of who Jesus is, find themselves being changed into the same image, moving from one level of glory to another. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Some say, I am empowered to succeed. Therefore, I will never fail. I am the church. Hallelujah. Let me move quickly. We've talked about the fact that we, the church, have been bought with a price, even the price of God, and that God, by his dealings with us, has given to us an equivalent value. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of that, that God has given to you an equivalent value, an equivalent value of worth. And so Jesus, our Lord, was able to say, as the Father has loved me, so also he loves you. The same way God loves me, God loves you. Exactly the same. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, come with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and this is where I'm going to begin to lay this to rest for now. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll start reading from about verse 14. I know I didn't finish the John 12 or 14 passage. The next verse says that where I am, there you will be also. Amen? That where I am, there you will be. I'm going to come back so that where I am, you'll be there also. And the point is that you and I are there with him also, because we died with him. We rose again from the dead with him. We ascended with him. And we are seated with him right now in what? Heavenly places. So that statement is fulfilled. Amen? Because we're with him. Praise the Lord. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Says we are not those kind of people. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. We grow up into him. We grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We grow up into him. We grow up into Christ in all things. Amen. So, mini-me becomes me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How do we get to be this? By receiving the truth in love. The love of God. The truth of God in love. Receiving it gets us to grow in him, into every area. Verse 16, love. For from whom, that's from the head, Christ, from whom, from Christ, yeah? The whole body, from the Christ who is the head, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. It is compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Compacted. Now, when you compact something, Does it get weaker or does it get stronger? Okay. So the Word of God says that we are as strong as we, every member, supplying what God has given to us. Do you get it? Did I lose you? You on the same page with me? So, Jesus the Christ, who's the head, fits the body together. He puts the body together. But the body, by releasing what has been given to them, gets the body to be compacted by that which every joint, and the joint is where the fitting is. Amen? According to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, the effective working of every part. The effective working of every part maketh increase. The effective working of every part, everybody playing their part, maketh the increase possible unto the edifying of itself, the building up of itself. That's what edifying means. An edifice, a building. The building of itself, how? In love. So it is love for the body, love for each other, that causes me to give my very best, not my leftovers. My very best. I'm releasing my very best to you, and you're releasing to her, and everybody, and as we're releasing it to everybody, giving, we're increasing, we're growing. Christ, the anointed one. Which means the anointing does not become functional until every one of us is doing our part. The church is only as strong as the contribution of the people as they have a revelation of Jesus. 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles, ungodly people walk, in the vanity of their mind. When we all work together, a supernatural force comes to play. Let me explain it in a strange, weird way. Have you ever moved furniture with a group of people? If you've moved furniture with a group of people, you find out something quite interesting. That everybody, as they are moving that furniture, to one extent or the other, that furniture is moving, they're carrying it. But the effort they are putting into it is split amongst all of them. And if you were to ask them later, they might just say, you know what, I really didn't put that much pressure on it. Everybody's playing the same game. But the furniture is moving because there's a flow of energy because all of you are working together. You find out that in a very reverse way, that when we all are involved in that compactness, work becomes easier for everybody. And everybody thinks they didn't put all of their efforts, but it was all of your effort what it looked like it was not all of your effort, because it was easier than what the problem that you solved is. Life becomes easier for every one of us, because every one of us are in service, releasing our very best. And today I challenge you, by the word of God, that we be the church of Jesus Christ, as we commit ourselves one to the other to serve the only true God, and in the process of doing so, we all find rest. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll stop there for now, because tonight I want to take you and I somewhere very special. Amen? Praise the Lord.